Blog Talk Radio.
August 26, 2013, and this is Foxology Today. It's a great day, isn't it? I tell you, I love hearing that song getting me started. Well, I'll tell you, if I could sing, I'd be singing that to you as well as talking, but since I can't, I won't try it. But anyway, it is a great day, isn't it? I think so. By choice, by confession, by declaration, by exclamation, it is indeed a great day. And you know, I got something to follow that up with. Thoughts are, they're kind of like bait. When you throw the thought out there, something is going to bite it. And if your first thoughts are full of agitation and irritation, don't be surprised at your catch of the day. If you threw out a line with negativity as bait, you know, you tend to reel in more irritation and agitation and negativity. And, you know, the thing is, you don't have to. I just dare you to fight those thoughts and feelings and say to yourself, I will start my day by saying something nice. And first, you know, start with yourself. Say something nice to yourself. Go to the mirror and say, just look at you, you awesome, incredible, gorgeous, handsome thing. And then after that, go compliment some other people. Compliment everybody else you see. You know, tell yourself, I'm going to throw up some positive bait out there and expect to catch a boatload of positivity. And I just dare you to do that and see what happens. It's going to be awesome, I promise you. And you'll be excited and so pleased with yourself. You will definitely get some positive results. Well, speaking of positive possibilities, how's your social life? We are in an era now where making a friend, a connection, creating a virtual relationship is as easy as getting a bottle of water from the fridge, which I just did. It's really that easy. It's, you know, it's at our fingertips, and it's a powerful and a productive and positive way to impact our personal and professional lives. Yes, social media has taken us by storm, and no one knows that better than my special guest today. She is an expert social media strategist. She is co-author of The Relationship Age, which she co-published with social media expert Mari Smith. She's a dynamic professional speaker and coach and recently launched her signature program, 30 Days to Social, for small businesses ready to take off into cyberspace. She is Barbara Pender, and I am glad to present her on the Foxology Today stage. Hey there, Barbara.
Good morning and good afternoon on other sides of the coast. Thank you so much, Silver, for having me on the show. I am so excited to be here and to reach out to your audience.
Me too. We made it happen. We've been working on connecting on this for a little while, but here we are, and I am ready to roll with it. And I tell you, part of getting connected with you is because you've been out on the road trailblazing.
That's right. That's right. As you mentioned, I did just, you know, I took July off, if I can use the word off, but I just put my nose to the grind to be able to dot the I's and cross the T's on this social media coaching program that's 30 days to social. I wanted to have the type of program that offered a great opportunity for small businesses and C-level executives, for those at the beginner, intermediate, and even advanced stages of social media. There's a lot of us that are on the different platforms, and really we're not getting the return on our investments as some of the experts and gurus say that we should be getting, and it's simply because there's not a plan in place, or we don't get on the platforms with a deliberate means to an end. And so that's what this mm-hmm. program is all about. It's customized. It's for you. It's not for the next person, because that next person's goals are different. And that's what that's the type of program that I wanted to create, something that will be catered to the individual business or C-level professional.
And it's really needed. You know what I want you to tell us? What got you so interested in social media as a career? Where did it all start for you? Was it because you reached a pivotal point like you just described and knew that for you to go to the next place, you had to get more savvy at it, or was it another revelation that you got?
It was actually an involuntary approach. I am an IT consultant and project manager by profession, and when the market crashed about 6 years ago, and if you recall, that pretty much was the entry of social media. It was starting mm-hmm. to ramp up at that stage. And as a consultant, I was looking for that next opportunity, that next contract. But in the meantime, I wanted to find out what else can I learn, right? Because we are always learning, and or we should always be learning. So I reached out to social media, which came easy for me. Back then, LinkedIn was king. And so I found that very easy for me, and I enjoyed it. So I sat back and took a look at it, and I said, you know, I think this is something that, you know, that I can do as a career. It's definitely needed. I definitely saw the future in it. I did not think it was going anywhere, much like when websites and the www came through. Everybody had a website, and internet was king and queen. So it's not going anywhere. I'll probably say that a couple more times throughout this show, because there still are a lot of people that are not on it, because they do think that it's a fad and that it's going to go away. So I took a certification course. It was the only one available, and actually it was with Maurice Smith. And definitely if I was going to go after this career move, I wanted to get some accreditation behind me. And so that's how it all began. I majored in advertising and business law in college at the University of Miami. Go Canes! And so I've always had a love for advertising, wanted to be a copywriter, and then I realized that that wasn't really a financially good move at that time. But I've always had that love for advertising and marketing. So that's how it fell in for me.
Can you tell us what, when you looked at social media at that point, and knowing that it was relatively new, a new thing, why did it make sense to you in the sense of what you had to do? Why did it make sense? What were you seeing at that point? And you may have thought it was a fad even at that time, but why did you say, I'm going to give this a shot, you know, maybe it will do what it do, as they say?
Because I saw the power of it. I have always been for the small businesses and giving them a leverage, even in my consultant profession. So if it was the end user and making sure that they knew how to utilize the the application that was forced upon them, showing them the way to utilize it, to leverage their job or their skill set. And just going for the small dog and showing them mm-hmm. that they can play with the big dogs. I saw that right away with social media. And it was for almost no cost to them, you know, where you have the big dogs spending millions for their marketing and advertising. You can do the exact same thing simply by connecting and engaging. Connecting, engaging, repeat, and being strategic about it. So that, I did see that in social media's infancy, and I knew that if I can train someone or show someone exactly how to get the return on their investment or change their $5,000 marketing budget to a $50,000 marketing budget, which would allow them to play with the big dogs, then that would be something that was that would add some value to them.
So for most any business, would you say that the whole dynamic of social media has become necessary and relevant to growth and visibility and profitability?
It's very relevant, and it's very, very necessary, and it really is time to get serious about social media. If you're not on board, it's time to get on board one platform at a time, as I always try to make sure that each end user, client, or even prospective client understand that. That eliminates the stress, the anxiety, and clears the way for the knowledge to become an expert on that platform or become comfortable on that platform before you move to the next one. If you are already on social media, it's time to get serious and deliberate about the way you approach it. I fall into the same trick, as I say, when I decide that I'm going to spend three times a day, maybe 15 or 20 minutes a day, and strategically engage on the different platforms. And then I find myself talking to a friend, catching up with a colleague because we're going to meet at a conference. And before you know it, that 15 minutes has turned into 40 minutes. So I'm not beyond falling into that trap as well. However, I do catch myself. I fall back, and I have to remember why I am on social media and to get the job done. The biggest complaint is I don't have time for it. And the second biggest complaint, these are the complaints that I hear, is that I'm not getting the likes, the posts, the comments, the shares that my peers or colleagues are getting. So I'm not getting my return on my time in addition to my return on my investment. And if they can't see those two things, then they're still stuck thinking, okay, what is social media going to do for me, or when is it going to do that for me?
And when that question is posed to you, does it always mean that if you know, I've looked at some of the really well-branded sites, well-known brands, where there are not some, you know, tons of likes. There are not always tons and tons of followers, but they're very big names. So is that actually an indication to anybody who is trying to put their brand out there that may feel some bit of discouragement based on what you just explained? Is that really a mark of success or lack of it?
Well, I'll use the comparison of, you know, someone who carries weight, like an Angela Bassett fan page. Already that carries some weight. But at some point she had to build her brand and build her reputation to get to that point. And so when social media came along, that's just another vehicle that she is able to use to leverage what she has already worked for. So that's the big dog. The small dog is the Angela Bassett who does not carry that band. You know, does not carry that brand. But she's using social media to build and to get to the same level to where Angela Bassett is, the actor, right? So you have Angela Bassett, the personal person in real life, and you have Angela Bassett, the actor. They can both get at that same level. It's just that one was had started building it before social media, and social media is using is allowing her to use it as a leverage. And the unknown Angela Bassett is now using social media to build her brand, build her image. And they can be using the exact same techniques at this point. So one will eventually go viral, and one can go viral just by, you know, waking up in the morning and saying that, hey, I'm in Houston having lunch at a popular restaurant, and everyone will take that to the next level. So it does take some time and consistency to perform on these different platforms.
So then people, businesses particularly, who are branding, then do need to evaluate those numbers in that way that, if nothing else, indicate to them that there's always another level that you can take it to by utilizing these tools.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important to point out that we need to respect the power of one when it comes to social media, because that one, they have connectors as well. So the way that social media works, if, you know, without showing my age, reminding you of the Fabergé effect, you know, somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody. So that's why the power of one, connecting with that one person, having something resonate with that one person, can carry your post, comment, tweet, share a very, very long way. So be mindful and respectful of the low numbers. It's who did the low numbers get to and what did they do with it? And who mm-hmm. are they supporting? Who are they connecting with? So those are
That's
powerful
great.
In and of itself as well.
That's a great insight. That's a great, great insight. So then when we are, as businesses and brand builders, looking to expand on the platforms and relationships and opportunities, what do we do when we look at it? Of course, we know it is a door to opportunity. It's a virtual door to opportunity. So then, when we're trying to attract people to who we are or what we are, what would you say needs to be hanging on that door?
Okay, so I'm hoping the audience is going to really appreciate this short answer, because I have had to work up to this point in understanding the word opportunity. An opportunity is only as good as your preparation for it. So an opportunity can knock on the door, but if you don't have a marketing plan in place, or you don't have your promotions and your events in place and in line, then that's just a regular knock on the door. So it will all fall back into step number one, get into social media if you're on it, become comfortable on a platform. You don't have to get to the maven, guru, or expert level, which, by the way, those are people who should bestow those titles on you and not claim yourself as one. But get comfortable with one platform, and then go to the next and make sure that the next one that you go to bounce off of each other. So that's an aggregation approach. So know one, then know the next one so that they can work both work off of each other. And then you get that plan in place. I'm going to post, comment, engage, get on each day, see what's going on. Don't forget to connect. Set yourself up so that when someone brings an opportunity to you, that you're ready for it. Someone brought an opportunity to me to manage an event. It was a peer, a colleague, because they were not able to do it. I put myself in the position where she felt comfortable enough that I could do it and take her place as well. I was ready for it. I was ready for that opportunity. And opportunities are golden nuggets because it's something that you don't really expect, but somebody is always watching you.
Mm-hmm.
So I,
mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about social media etiquette at some point as well. Somebody is always watching you. So just be prepared, and then that opportunity will be golden. It will be a golden move.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a couple of things as far as the preparation. And I imagine you have a pretty good list, Barbara, of things that are must-dos, things we must know in social media to make ourselves a success. And I'm not talking about just the business that is made successful. But when you're on social media, and you know, since you're the expert, there's all manner of activity that goes on. And so when we talk in terms of just being successful in the actual content, in the actual messaging, in the actual imaging, what can you tell us most succeeds?
I would say consistency, if I had to pick one word. That when anything that we do, we will find a result if we are consistent at it. And that result can be positive or negative. But the outcome is that there's a result of it and you can tweak it. So if it's positive and it's working, it might be something that you want to repurpose and put that on the side and say, this is something that works for me. With social media, there are built-in metrics that you can use without having a major in statistics or being strong in math that you can use to measure how well you are being received in social media. Facebook has insights. For everything else, there's another platform called Clout, and those will give you automated results. You just have to go to them and take a look to see, as far as Facebook is concerned, theirs is insights to look at the posts, the comment, the share, and see how that was received. If it's a low number, it's something that you might want to tweak by looking at the time, looking at how you post it. If it was a great response, again, you look at the time, you look at when you post it, you look at everything that's going on around you, and you will find your niche. And that insight graph, I love it because it points out the peaks and the valleys. And you can take a look at that insight, and it will give you the date, and you just have to reflect on, you know, what is it that was going on around that particular time. I guarantee you, you will find two and two. Make that four and find out what that outcome is. So a good or bad outcome is going to give you the results that you need. You'll tweak it either way. Clout is another platform. I really encourage those of you who want to start doing something consistently in social media to go to clout.com and sign up. It will pull over all of your platforms. And it will start watching your engagement and report that back to you. It rates you on a score from 0 to 100, of course, 100 being the best. And you'll see immediately where you are, how engaging you are, what comments and posts and shares have worked for you. And it'll give you a good insight of how to tweak your engagement. So consistency is key, and by being consistent, you can use those two metrics to give you an outcome of how you're performing on social media.
Well, what I heard you say in all of that is that we really need to be paying attention to what works, make it work, and what doesn't, tweak that in a way that either you may have to get rid of it or find something, another component that will boost your the interest in invisibility.
Exactly. That is exactly right. But just remember not to give up on it too quickly, because before we give up on it, we do want to tweak it. And, you know, you can repurpose your posts. When you watch the insights and you watch the feedback and it doesn't work for this time of the year or this month, maybe it didn't work on Monday at 6 a.m., but maybe it will work on Tuesday around traffic time, peak time, or the time people get home, or lunchtime. So there are a lot of statistics of when is the best time to post or get on social media and be engaging. You will have to determine that. You can look at the reports and the statistics that are out there, but that might not be your audience. So you have to determine when is the best time that works for you.
So when you say repurpose, Barbara, are you saying repost your posts at different
Absolutely.
Times where you recognize there's a more heightened engagement?
Exactly, exactly. If you are posting consistently and you're being authentic with your posts, so that means that you're being deliberate and you're trying to reach a certain audience, then when you look at your metrics, you will be able to determine, you know, what worked and what did not work. So let's use the march this weekend in Washington. That was a great time to be engaging. It was a great time for people to see that you have an opinion. And I guarantee you, anyone who posted anything about that march this weekend got a good reach. It reached a lot of people, which means that a lot of people saw it. Reach is different from a post, a like, and a share. That's them looking at it and reaching out to them, as opposed to you posting maybe about the same thing, because we can talk about Martin Luther King every day, all day. Most of us would want to anyway. But mm-hmm. you can post that on any other different day, and it might not reach. It may just fall flat on deaf ears. So that's what I mean.
So there's no real way to measure what you just described, though, as reach, meaning that somebody saw what you said versus somebody commented or liked what you said. Reach is a whole other kind of an ambiguous visibility as far as our knowledge as a person who posts or business who posts. It's something that you... How do you then use that to your understanding of things to do, or do you just trust your instincts on it? How does that reflect on decisions or choices?
So here's the beauty of the coaching program and why I put so much time into it, because there are a lot of areas on the different platforms that we quite frankly just take for granted. So you may not get a like, a comment, or a share, but you will get an instant feedback on how many people saw this post. I want you guys to go to your pages at some point and just go to an old post, either on your personal page or your fan page, and look at that post in that square box. You will see one of two things: how many people saw this post, that's a count, and that's a metric, or how many people did this post reach, and you will see the word reach on it. And then you can go to your insights page, which is on your admin panel, and you can determine how many people saw, how many people it reached out to. You'll be able to see a breakdown of that. So what the training in social media does is that, in addition to, it's great to set up the account and learn how to post and learn how to use the hashtags and all of that. But you are missing the nugget when you don't understand how to use the keywords, how to create a keyword hashtag where it is going to benefit you, how to go into your admin panel and see all of that information for you that's going to tell you about your engagement and your performance. So those are the items that I cover in the training program that is specific to each individual that you can go back at any time and see. This time last week when you posted, it was probably a non-event knowledge-wise. After this show, when you now will look at your post, in addition to you seeing, oh, Barbara Pender liked this, oh, Barbara Pender made a post and someone shared it, do not discount how many people saw the post and how many people that it reached. That is going to resonate with you, and that will stay in the back of your mind that, oh, I think I'll repurpose this in another month or two and get some more feedback, because it reached a lot of people and it mattered to a lot of people.
Okay. Well, tell us some of the things to absolutely avoid doing that you have recognized as a business person and a coach that just don't work. You know, they would be things that you would say, all right, we don't even have to do a course on this. Just don't do these things.
Okay.
What would some of those things be?
Do not post when you're angry. Here is what I do, literally. I go to my email. I open up a compose box. I get it all out. I don't put a to and from, because then you really get tempted. I just open up composition, and I just type away. I make my exclamation points. I put stuff in bold. I underline. I color in red, whatever. And so we're talking about angry or pissed off. Pissed off to the highest pissivity is really the term that I use. I can say that on radio. So angry. And I just put it all out, and I feel so much better. And then I go back to the situation. So don't post while you're angry. Don't ignore a negative post based on your business or maybe you were supposed to meet someone and they kind of worded it where it made you appear to be not dependable or not focused. You want to address that. There's good press and there's bad press. But when you don't address it, there's no press. Because someone will be able to see how you handle that, especially if they didn't use the angry approach. They obviously was angry and they wanted to let you know. And they know by posting it that other people will see that. So don't think that they don't know what they're doing by, you know, posting that, oh, my goodness, it was so great to see you today, Barbara. Didn't mind the 20-minute wait. You know, it's getting a little big like that. You want to address it. So you want to make sure. I would think that those are the top two, that there's no training that needs to be done. It applies to everybody, and it has happened to everyone. And when in doubt, if you have any doubt of how this is going to be received, don't post it. That's your intuition working on your behalf.
Well, here's my question with what you have just explained. Of course, I understand it, but let's make it clear to people who may be listening and wondering, why not? If that's how I feel and if I need to respond to stand my on my opinion and all of that, you and I both know, and maybe others listening too, but let's make it real clear why this, it's just not a good idea to do that because of your imaging, your brand, and the idea that it gives people about doing business with you.
Because it is in the face of adversity that our character truly shows. We can present ourselves in a positive light all day. We know the right things to say. We know the right keywords to use. But when something catches us off guard, it is when our true character shows. And that is why you want to make sure that you act accordingly on those three tips that I gave you, that really does not need any type of training at all.
Okay, so we know that it can be real detrimental to your image and perhaps even destroy ideas people may have had about you that were more positive.
Exactly.
Can you tell us more about the etiquette, the do's, the don'ts, the no-nos?
I would say that I'm going to start with something that I know that we can correct right away, and it's the appearance of our posts and our comment, and it's typing in all caps. And take this, not with a grain of salt, but please take this as some of the etiquettes that I feel that happens in our communications that we can correct that will make us come across in a better light. So we want to put things in all caps, so we want to make a point, and that's good. But your entire comment and your post in all comments is a screamer. It might as well be in red font, bold, and underline. But a couple of things in all caps, that's totally, totally acceptable. And when I say acceptable, I mean it has a very nice look to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we can change and that we can improve on is when you use something that someone else has used as your own. You do want to give them credit. You can even start out the post before the link saying, thank you, Silver, for sharing this thought. Thank you, Silver, for sharing this link. Or you can tag that person. But you do want to make sure that you give that person that credit. That has a great look on how you connect with others and how you are in the how can I serve you more business. It's added value. You are reading other people's work. You appreciate other people's work as well, not just only your own. So you're not just tooting your own horn as well by sharing other people's work.
Well, I want to ask a question right there.
Sure.
I'm glad you brought that up because I did not realize. I saw several times on Facebook the reference to something like, and I don't know that I'm saying the exact words, but it sounded something like stealing posts. And I looked at that several times, probably happened all in 1 week, that I saw three different folks that posted something like that. And I thought to myself, isn't that one of the things about social media that we can immediately share things that we see? Where I found the problem, and it happened to me one time, somebody was sharing my posts as their own. And I don't know how in the world, what made me take a look at that, but I actually went to that page and saw that they were cutting and pasting and using my posts as their own and getting comments and, you know, and so I, you know, put an end to that quickly. That I know that falls in the category of wrong no matter how you look at it. But I did not realize sharing links and all these wonderful quotes and things like that did require that you give credit. I thought if it's more like a copyrighted quote or a short story or this is what happened in my life today or yesterday or years ago, then I would see the necessity to indicate that you are clipping that and you're sharing what that person said or you're sharing their post. So can you just really make it clear, because I'm going forward, I'm going to utilize what you've said because I don't want anybody thinking, and I share frequently posts that other people have had, but not their own languaging. It might be another quote from another Facebook page, but I don't take anyone's actual quotes and share them. If, you know, most people, you can see who it is you're sharing anyway, if you, you know, share in the way that it's the technology allows us to, it's going to say who it's from. But can you just clarify what I just described? Of course, it's just totally lacking, I think, in integrity to take somebody's information and share it as your own. But be specific when you say we need to give them credit, because I definitely want to operate in that manner going forward. What information are you talking about that we should give?
Yeah. That is an excellent, excellent question that really does deserve more clarity. So you take a typical story that you're reading, an article that you're reading that you found on the internet, and you decide to share that on your page. Well, within that story, we know that that came directly from the platform that you found it on. You read the story. You're sharing with us your thoughts on the story. And that you can typically just share away. That's not taking someone's work and making it as your own. So that's one avenue. Take that same story that you read and you shared on your link, Silver, you shared it on your page, and now I see it on your page, and I'm like, wow, that is a really good article. You find yourself saying, that's a really good article. I wish I had found that story first. And then you take that story, instead of sharing it from Silver's link, you go to the article and you share it from that link. So you do two things. You stop the virality of that link because Silver found it. She shared it on her page. Barbara saw it. And instead of sharing it from Silver's page, I actually go to the article itself and share it from there. Does that make sense? Because that's a perfect example of what most of us will see from time to time. So what I should have done was shared it from your link, from your page, and say, thanks, Silver, for finding this. This is a great read. And then I share it to my page. Mm-hmm. And someone sees it on my page, and they share it from there. That is how the viral works. It keeps going up to the next person, to the next person. But if you go back to that article where it was originally posted, you just cut the virality potential of that article by going back, and now you want to pretend that you found it first and that you're sharing it on your page. I think that's an example that we can all kind of relate to. Now, the other one is just real simple, by just taking someone else's information that they've posted. Because in this day of age of social media, there's a lot of strong messages out there. There's a lot of billboards that we post, and we take that and we want to, you know, just share that as our own or as if we have found it. I don't think it's hard to, at that particular point in time, determine whether or not am I being authentic in what I'm doing or am I not. And clearly you're not if you're sharing someone else's work.
Okay. So let me ask you this, just to get another clarity on this. I love Think and Grow Rich on Facebook. They have lots of wonderful posts, and I share them frequently. They say share it. So when we share it, are we then to give some kind of indication of anything or recognition to it? Or when they're telling us to share it, their intent is what you said, to create more visibility and notice for it. So is it appropriate? It's not unethical to just share. Sometimes I make a comment, sometimes I don't. But I think it's real obvious then that it's not us trying to infringe upon any kind of copyright or indicate
exactly.
that it's our own post, correct?
You're absolutely correct. Because when you share from a group page like that, it's going to come with its own branding of that group page. It will say,
mm-hmm.
if it's business networking in Houston, when you click the share button, it is going to pull over business networking in Houston, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So that is totally acceptable.
Okay.
And I'm going to add one more tip about sharing, just on the positive side, because I know that, you know, the copywriting and plagiarizing overtone of this part of the conversation, you know, can be a little disturbing. But here's a good tip. When you do share something, share a link, you want to make sure that you have a comment. Sometimes we just share links and hit the send button, but take the time to have a comment so that we know that it is something that you have read and you may have an opinion. It really is okay to give your opinion because you know your connectors and you know who you are reaching out to, or give a little nugget in that article or read that's going to be of benefit and that will make them read it or give them an opportunity to read it because you've pointed out something. So if you've read an article and it was important to you or it resonated with you, just feel free to even just pull that part of it out. In other words, make a comment as you're sharing your links as opposed to just putting your links out there so you can you know, make it a part of what you support or how it resonated with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was really great advice. That certainly helped me. I will, from now on, make sure I'm giving some kind of indication, if not recognition, to those that I share. Because in my thinking, I'm just, you know, you kind of get this feeling if you're in the, you know, if your thought patterns are healthy. I'm thinking, boy, it's exciting they're sharing with me. I'm going to share it with others. But I never thought about anybody feeling particularly agitated that you were sharing something from their page. I rarely ever go to anybody's page. It only mostly comes through my feed that I share from. And so you kind of just think, well, it's there for the sharing, right? But I will recognize, I love that, that you've told us that, because I will go, going forward, I'll do that just a little bit more sensitively and, you know, with more recognition to those who are initially sharing those posts. That's really great. Well,
absolutely.
Is there anything else? Absolutely a no-no. There are two or three other questions I want to ask you before we wrap up today, but is there anything else that is just an absolute, you just want to make sure you tell people, or do we get it all out there?
I think I'd like to take the time just to cover automation, how we schedule our tweets. This is for more of the intermediate and advanced listeners out there. And I would tell you that my opinion has wavered on this. These are automation, setting up, scheduling your posts, setting up your tweets. And I have, everybody grows and everybody comes to a place where you have to realize that there will be a time where you would have to schedule. As much as I've been on the road lately, automated posts and automated tweets would have worked to my benefit. But here's the key. It's a good tool to use. There's plenty of tools that you can utilize where it will work to your advantage. I say just be authentic and letting people know that I'm going on vacation for the next 2 weeks. My communication with you will be via scheduled and automated communications. So just putting
mm-hmm.
it out there that these are scheduled tweets or these are scheduled posts also lifts your integrity as well. And I think I know that has been the pet peeve on my end about scheduled and automated tweets as well. If you have an admin working on your behalf, then you should have a sign-off, in my opinion, for that admin so that they know that it's coming from your social media team, which is a good thing. That still is part of your brand, but it is someone else that is utilizing it. Do not set up automated scheduled tweets or posts and let them go ignored. Please check on them. It could be something that went viral, a high reach, reached a lot of people, and you would never know, right? So please make sure that you go back and see if something does require your attention. So that was the other part of automation and scheduled communications on social media platforms that I wanted to make sure that we got out there for the listeners.
And it's great information. Tell us a couple of things before I want you to talk to us about your 30 days to social. But tell us as, again, consumers and users of social media, the biggest advantages of why we need to. I know that, I mean, when I initially started, it was with great resistance. It was somebody like you talking to me that said, what do you think you're going to achieve and how in this new age of it if you don't do it? How could you possibly? You must.
Exactly. And I had to fight. I had to fight every fear, everything that was saying, I don't want to learn how to do that whole thing. I mean, I really had to go into the recesses of my being, seriously, to step up. I am not kidding. To really get in that game. I mean, to really get in that game. And several of my friends started emailing me, that sure didn't take you long. I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just took a leap. But I took a leap because somebody like you pushed me off into it and said, no, this is not an option. If you're going to do what you say you're going to do, then you've got to do this. So, and I have found that, well, it took me a little while to decide it was fun. But once I really began to understand the techie part of it, it got to be easy. Of course, the more you do it. And then you find out what the purpose is. You really find out how to utilize the purpose and all of that. But tell people, I guess it might be similar to what was told to me. Why it's essential. It's essential now. Tell them the advantages of what you may be this business, but if you don't do this, you may just stay that business, and not
exactly.
Many people know about you. So
okay.
Let's hear it from your professional standpoint.
So the reason why I created the coaching program is to eliminate all the mystery of social media. I stress starting with one platform at a time so that when there's a change, you don't go into a panic. So far, I think it has been a good maybe 3 weeks before there's been a major change in Facebook. I mean, there's always changes, but very minute, right? But when they do a change like appearance or introduce a new feature like hashtag, if you're not on social media and you hear about something like that, it simply just makes you stay away from it any longer and longer. So my social simple approach, taking 30 days to get on board social media, and I'm speaking from a beginner's perspective, or if you have the account but they're not being leveraged, it's 1 hour a day. And so that pretty much takes care of those who say, I don't have time for it. We all know we have time for the things that are important to us. And at some point, social media is going to resonate with you where I got to get on board, right? So it's a 30-day program to get you on board. And after you go through 30 business days, so it's actually 6 weeks, no weekends, no homework, everything is done within that hour, after you go through that program, on day 31, you're ready to rock and roll, because really you've been doing it for 30 days, and you realize that it may take you even less than an hour a day to deliver your message to stay engaged. It's one-on-one. It's a private session. It is a unique formula created exactly for you. So I do my due diligence on my end to see what you have out there, how you're being received already in social media, and you bring to the table what you have coming down the pipe over the next 30, 60, 90 days, because we want to incorporate all of that and set all of that up to be delivered out to your audience and your audience-to-be. I have two examples, and both of these young ladies were not on social media. They didn't have the time. They did not want everyone in their business, quote unquote, and I know you guys have either heard this before or maybe even said this before, and you did not want your private information out there. So we should all really realize that really our private information is really not private. It's pretty much public if you have given your information via automation, your bank, and all of those other places. But you can come on board social media with a certain privacy and settings that will make you feel comfortable. For the most part, most of the users, we simply just do not do it. We'll open up an account. We'll see that disclaimer. Oh, can we have access to your photos, to your connections, and all of that? And we click yes, and then we get upset when they decide that they're going to utilize that information. You can say no.
Right.
And you can set it up accordingly. And that was the example for this young lady who really did not want to come out on social media. So we did a peek show on Facebook. We released her little by little so that she was comfortable. And now she's starting to engage more and more, and she's comfortable saying, oh, well, I think I do want other people to be able to post, or I think that I will accept more people in. But you got to accept
well,
people in because you're connecting.
Absolutely.
It is really how she perceived that particular platform, which was Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My
well,
very
that,
best friend.
A lot of us did. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. I actually have someone who is of this generation, my age exactly, who was not on any of the platforms. And her company told her that she has to get a Facebook account. So I just smiled. She just told me this yesterday. And I told her, I said, you are going to kick yourself when you realize that it has taken you this long. We can still come on board your way with the right settings, the right privacy, connecting with the right people, and
right.
where you are comfortable doing your job. And she's in direct sales marketing. She's done it all this
right.
time without the platform. Now you have a vehicle,
wow.
if I go back to the beginning of this show, talking about the underdog working with the big dog. Now
right.
you are just going to elevate your game. Social media, when you are ready to get serious about it, will allow you to elevate your game. If your game is your brand, your image, or your revenue, and they all kind of intertwine anyway.
Tell us quickly how to connect with you with 30 Days to Social. We have less than 2 minutes left, but let people know how to reach you.
So the website for 30 Days to Social is www.30daysspelledouttosocial.com. And that
okay,
will give
great.
You all of the information regarding the coaching program, starting with a 30-minute consultation so that you get a feel for me. I get a chance to look at some of the things that you have coming down the pipe, and you can determine if it is a fit or not, if it's something that you are ready for. It's a single-task approach.
We'll make sure that information is available on the website. So, Barbara,
excellent.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to maybe a part two because I really know that there's other information we could have shared today. Thanks so much, and have an awesome, awesome day.
My pleasure. Thanks, everyone.
And I want to thank you for being the bestest listeners in cyberspace. Please tell your friends about Foxology. And meet me back here again at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time next Monday. In the meantime, stay connected, have a great day, and thank you so much for listening.